Several years ago, a little girl wore a bright, shiny cross around her neck. She loved that cross. It held a special place in her heart. It was a gift from her grandmother. It was something she truly cherished. All up until one day. One day, as the little girl was out just being a little girl, an old grouchy man approached her, and he wasn't very kind. He had pain in his voice, and he said, "Little girl, I bet you believe that Jesus died on that cross that hangs from your neck. But I'm here to tell you that the real cross, the cross that you think Jesus died for you on, and I'm not saying that he did, was not as pretty as the one that hangs from your neck. And that's why I believe that you shouldn't wear it as a piece of jewelry, something that adorns your outfit, because the cross was rude and it was crude. And because it was rude and because it was crude, I think that you wearing that cross is no different than someone wearing a noose around their neck or an electric chair around their throat." The poor little girl didn't know what to say. What had been laid before her soft little heart was almost more than she could bear. And yet, by the grace of God and the respect she had for those who were older than she turned to the man and said, "You're right. I do believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. And I do believe that his cross would not be as pretty or shiny as mine. But I also believe what my Sunday school teacher told me last year." "And what was that?" the old grouch wanted to know. The young girl said, "My Sunday school taught me that whatever Jesus touches, he changes." And he does indeed. You see, that old grouch was right. The cross of Calvary, the one we adore, was an awful, horrible place to die. But the little girl was right as well. But because of what Jesus did on that cross to pay the ultimate price for your sin and mine, that horrible place of torment, that instrument of destruction and death, has now become the symbol of our salvation for you and for me and all who call Jesus their Savior. Yes, as we learn in our text for today, Jesus and the blood he shed on the cross has transformed not only that cross, but also us. And because it is true, I invite you to hear these words of our text once again. Paul writes, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and to despise things, and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become the wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." What that means for us is this, that we who were once drowning in the depths of our sins have been raised up and set free by the blood of Jesus. And because Jesus has done that for poor, miserable sinners like you and a horrible sinner like me, we can rejoice and know in our hearts that we have been set apart to declare the praise of God. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that exciting? We who were once no people, we who were once separated from God, have now become the praise of God. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that awesome? I pray that it is. In fact, I know that it is. I read a story several years ago about a Christian salesman who was in a strange city overnight. On Sunday morning, he decided to get up and go to church, and he found a church that was very close to his hotel. He walked in, he sat down, and he realized very quickly that the church service wasn't quite what he was used to. But once the sermon began, he became totally engrossed in the message that was being proclaimed from God's word. In fact, he got so caught up in the word that was being spoken that he couldn't help himself. And he cried out in a loud voice after the pastor took a breath and said, "Hallelujah," at the top of his lungs. I'm sure you're used to that here, especially when Dr. Burrison mans the pulpit. The pastor continued, and after yet another stirring verse from Scripture was lifted up and expounded on, the man couldn't help himself. He lifted his voice once again in the midst of the assembly and cried out, "Praise the Lord." With that, one of the ushers went down the aisle. He placed the hand on the man and he whispered sternly. He said, "Sir, here in this place, we don't praise the Lord." How can that be? Because of what Christ has fully and freely done for us at the cross of Calvary, my friends, because of what we read in our text for today, you and I, by virtue of our baptisms, have been called to be one big hallelujah from head to toe, because that is who we are. Long faces, stooped shoulders, downward glances should be foreign to the people of God who have been claimed by God. My friends, we've been called to be the praise of God. And because we have been called to be the praise of God, Paul encourages us that when we boast, to boast in the Lord. But he also says in Romans chapter 12, the third verse, that you and I, who are the praise of God, who have been set apart to declare his praise, are also not to think more of ourselves than we ought. And that's a trap we can all fall in. So often we like to look at ourselves and say and remind ourselves of what we do and what we don't do. And we boast, forgetting that the only reason we have to boast this side of heaven is because of what Jesus has fully and freely done for us at the cross of Calvary. Thus, we do not boast in the gifts and abilities that we have that another might not have. We boast in the fact that God has given us those gifts so that we may glorify him. Thus, we boast not because our church is experiencing more growth than the one down the street, but because God has given us, his servants, a place to grow and serve in. My friends, it's so easy to get caught up in our own boasting, to consider before ourselves what we have done in our lives and in our ministries. And when we do, we sin. And because that is true in your life and mine, more than we care to ever admit, we must confess those sins. We must fall before God's throne of grace and ask him not only to forgive our sins, as he will, but more importantly, pray to him and ask him to empower us and enable us with his Spirit, not only to be his praise, but to boast in him until he comes. My dear friends, you know what happened in Calvary. You know what happened at the empty tomb. And because we know and believe that Jesus is alive and living here in this place, but especially in our hearts and in our homes, today we are reminded that we are the praise of God and we have been called to boast in the Lord. And let us do just that as we come forward in Jesus' name and receive from his hand of mercy and grace his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we might boast and proclaim what he has done for all of us in Jesus' name. And with that we say, amen. Thank you for the privilege.